me. Call me at 2 this afternoon. When the time arrived later that day, my call went to voicemail. I texted Lovett. He responded that he was going to have to pass on that talk. I laughed and messaged Hinky. I'll say this, I wrote. I admire your relentless informing of people from your life not to speak with me. I added a smiley face at the end because I'm a serious journalist. You should admire the depth of our relationships, Hinky responded. I, however, still had a book to write, a story to tell. I still needed to illustrate who Sam Hinky is as a person. I still needed to explain what he sought to accomplish during his 2+ years as the president of basketball operations for the National Basketball Association's Philadelphia 76ers. There's the obvious and simple answer, winning a championship. But it seemed to me that there must be more to it, or at least more to him. Few leaders in the history of sports have ever so willingly and aggressively sacrificed the present in order to chase a better future. Hinky wasn't the first to try taking advantage of the warped incentive system found in most professional sports, in which bad teams are rewarded with good draft picks. But he did take this plan to a new extreme, and in doing so drove the basketball world mad. Hinky triggered a culture war. To some fans, he and his plan, dubbed by others a process, as in trust the process, in homage to Hinky's belief in focusing on process over results, was the closest thing to religion they'd ever experienced. To others, he was the NBA's Bernie Madoff. He angered agents, annoyed that one of the 30 teams capable of paying their clients had essentially removed itself from the marketplace, and irritated competitors, many of whom felt Hinky was violating the first rule of professional sports, summarized so perfectly years earlier by former New York Jets head coach Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. If he were to talk about his own legacy, I'm guessing Hinky would counter that he was playing to win the game, but that the only game he cared about winning was the championship. Still, there was so much more I wanted to know, so much I was curious about, so much I felt I still needed to learn, and so you can imagine my excitement when, a few weeks after the quip about his deep relationships, I discovered the name of a person who I believed could provide me with a more substantive answer. In April 2016, Hinky officially resigned from his position with the Sixers. 5 months earlier, at the behest of the NBA, the team had hired Jerry Colangelo as a special advisor. Colangelo had spent nearly 50 years as an NBA executive. He was as powerful and respected as anyone within the basketball world, and not a person interested in letting others dictate. Hinky understood exactly what his arrival meant. Hinky resigned and did so via letter. But this wasn't just another resignation letter. Addressed to the Sixers' equity partners and quickly leaked to the media, it went on for 13 pages. It featured a bullet point about a flightless bird from New Zealand called the Moa. It had subsections paying homage to famous investors like Charlie Munger. It quoted Abraham Lincoln twice. That neither Lincoln, quote, was actually spoken by Lincoln is beside the point. Hey, who among us hasn't been duped by the internet? More important, it offered an in-depth look into the mind of its author. Science is about predictions, Hinky wrote at one point. A couple sentences later, he quoted a man named Tim Urban, who, Hinky said, will soon be recognized as one of tomorrow's polymaths. Then, in parentheses, came a piece of advice. Like many of you, Hinky wrote to the Sixers ownership group, he lives in New York. I'd recommend meeting him for coffee sometime. This suggestion may have not been addressed to me, but I figured why not take Hinky's advice? After all, I too live in New York. Also, and more to the point, Hinky and Urban had clearly engaged in rigorous scientific and philosophical conversations. Urban, it seemed, was a man who could provide some of the answers I was desperately searching for. But first, I had to figure out who the hell Tim Urban was. I queued up Google and discovered that Urban was the 30-something-year-old author of a long-form blog called Wait But Why. One of his essays, titled How to Pick a Career That Actually Fits You, was more than 15,000 words and featured friendly-looking graphs and charts. Another 14,000-word entry was about cryonics and why they make sense. The posts were littered with references to Urban's relationship with Elon Musk. I found an email address and introduced myself. A few weeks later, an assistant, Alicia, replied, "We should be able to set up a quick 15-minute call for this month," she wrote. I told her that I was actually looking to follow the advice of Sam Hinky and meet Urban for coffee. We stick to phone calls or virtual coffee meetings over Skype as much as possible, as it doesn't break up his